Good morning, and thanks for tuning in again today for another edition of Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, and I'm your host on Thursdays on Mornings for the Master. Mornings for the Master has a different host each weekday and a different course of study. And on Thursdays at the present, we are studying the book of Daniel. And today we are moving into chapter 9. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 19 today. And we're going to consider the prayer of Daniel. We see the penitent prayer of Daniel in the beginning of this chapter. And this will be our focus. So let's go right to our text now and notice Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 19. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the year specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God, and made confession, and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him, and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face. As it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings and our princes and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us, and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations, and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Now, as we continue our study of the book of Daniel, today we have come to a remarkable chapter. In this chapter, which we'll divide into two parts, in verses 1 through 19, we find a beautiful prayer expressed by Daniel. And then, in verses 20 through 27, we find an amazing revelation regarding 77s in verses 20 through 27. Now, without question, the latter part of this chapter is one of the more difficult texts of the Scripture. And in view of that difficulty, it is important that we approach this passage with humility, and we cannot approach it dogmatically as some might attempt to do. We must be very careful not to draw conclusions that contradict the clear teaching of the Scripture. But before we consider the actual vision of the 70 weeks, let's take the time to consider the prayer offered by Daniel. This prayer is a beautiful example of confessing sin and seeking forgiveness. This prayer in Daniel chapter 9 is very similar to the prayer of David in the 51st Psalm. One of the wonderful blessings we enjoy as Christians is the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ as we confess our sins according to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Daniel's prayer in this chapter gives us great insight into the art of confessing our sin. Now let's begin by considering the setting of the prayer of Daniel. We see the date of the prayer in verse 1. It is in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. Notice, In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. So Darius was of the lineage of the Medes. He had been made king over the Chaldeans or Babylonians. We see in chapter 5, verse 31, and also in chapter 6. So the time of this prayer would be around 538 BC. Now, why did Daniel make this offer this prayer? Daniel knew the prophecy of Jeremiah regarding 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Notice verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, go with me to the book of Jeremiah. And now let's notice in chapter 25 of Jeremiah, verses 9 through 12. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass when 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation. Now just go over a couple of pages, still in Jeremiah, to chapter 29, and notice verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. So the 70 years of Jerusalem began in 606 BC with the captivity of Daniel and the first devastation of Jerusalem. Notice 2 Chronicles chapter 36. In verses 5 through 7, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord his God. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against him and bound him in bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried off some of the articles from the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his temple at Babylon. Now back to Daniel. Let's go back to chapter 1 and now look at verses 1 through 6. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel, and some of the king's descendants, and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies, and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So, with this first year of the Medo-Persian Empire, with Darius the Mede over Chaldea, but with Cyrus the Persian over all, the prophecy of Jeremiah was almost completed. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and let's look at verses 21 through 23. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. In Ezra chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, we read, Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, All the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem. And whoever is left in any place where he dwells, let the men of his place help him with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, besides the freewill offerings, for the house of God which is in Jerusalem. Now let's notice Daniel's preparation for his prayer. Notice that Daniel set his face toward the Lord God. In verse 3, back in our text now, in Daniel 9, Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. To make request by prayer and supplications. This may have included facing toward Jerusalem. Go back to chapter 6 now and notice verses 10 and 11. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Notice also that Daniel was fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. These physical preparations illustrated his humility and his contrite spirit. Others would have similar practice. Notice Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, in sackcloth, and with dust on their heads. Then those of Israelite lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Consider Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way, and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent, and turn away from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish? So we see Daniel is well prepared himself to pray. The word of God is fresh on his mind. His heart has been humbled by his own sins and those of his people. And he had also humbled his physical body into submission. And so Daniel begins his penitent prayer. So let's consider the content of this prayer of Daniel. Notice how it begins with Daniel's confession. He addresses the Lord his God in verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. He addresses the Lord as great and awesome, as the one who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and keep his commandments. Consider the 103rd Psalm, verses 17 and 18. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Also, John chapter 14 and verse 15, Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. So we find Daniel confesses on behalf of his people. Notice verse 5. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. He has repented of their sinning and committing iniquity, of their doing wickedly and their rebelling, and of their departing from the precepts and judgments of God, of their failing to heed his servants, the prophets, who spoke to their kings, princes, fathers, and all the people. Now let's look back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, and verses 15 through 21. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin, on the aged or the weak. He gave them all into his hand, and all the articles from the house of God, great and small, the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his leaders, all these he took to Babylon. Then they burned the house of God, broke down the wall of Jerusalem, burned all its palaces with fire, and destroyed all its precious possessions. And those who escaped from the sword, he carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now we see the contrasting of their shame with God's righteousness. Look at verses 7 through 9 again. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. To Judah, Israel, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem belong shame of face. Those both near and far off in countries where God had driven them, to them, their kings, princes, and fathers, because of their unfaithfulness against God, their sin and rebellion. Notice Ezra chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. And I said, O my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers, To this day we have been very guilty, and for our iniquities we, our kings, and our priests have been delivered into the hands of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, to plunder, and to humiliation, as it is this day. To God belongs righteousness. To God belongs mercy and forgiveness. Even though they had rebelled against him, consider Ezra chapter 9, verses 8 and 9. And now for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. Now back to our text. Daniel reviews their sin and the fulfillment of God's warnings. Verse 10. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law, and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us. Yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. Now, Daniel would call forth the nature of their sin. You could go to Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 13 to 30, when you have an opportunity. Daniel pointed out that they have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, that they have not walked in God's laws that were set before by his prophets. Daniel acknowledged that they had transgressed God's law and departed from it so as not to obey the voice of God. They had not prayed that they might turn from their iniquities and understand God's truth. Daniel points out the fulfillment of God's warnings. You could recall Leviticus chapter 26, verses 14 through 39, and Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning in verse 15 through 68. The curse and the oath written in the law of Moses had been poured out. He has confirmed his words spoken against them by bringing a great disaster upon them, especially concerning the disaster which had come upon Jerusalem. Daniel summarizes their sin. Notice back in our text now, verse 15. "And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. It is to him who delivered them from Egyptian bondage with a mighty hand." Israel had sinned and done wickedly. But now as we get to verse 16 in our text, we see the petition of Daniel. Daniel makes a passionate plea for God to turn away his anger and fury from Israel. Verse 16. "O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us." From his city, Jerusalem, his holy mountain, God had turned his anger and fury toward Israel because of their sins and their iniquities. They had become a reproach to all those around them. Now we want to hear the prayer and supplication. Daniel wants God to hear it and to make his face to shine on his sanctuary, which is desolate. Notice verse 17. "Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate." Consider their desolation and the desolation of the city called by his name. 18. "O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies." Daniel pleads for God to hear, to forgive, to act, and to not delay. 19. "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name." We see the passionate plea of Daniel is not because of their righteous deeds, but upon God's righteousness and his mercies. God's righteousness and for his sake. Look again at 16 and 17. "O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. We see God's great mercies as the reason and for the sake of his city and his people that are called by his name. Notice 18 and 19 again. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. My God, for your city and your people are called by your name. So now as we bring our thoughts today together, consider that like the prayer of David in Psalm 51, this prayer of Daniel is a classic example of how to confess our sins and seek God's forgiveness. To seek forgiveness on the basis of God's loving kindness and mercy, not one's own righteousness. Consider Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. We see the acknowledgement of one's sins before God. In that same psalm, the 51st psalm, if we go on to verses 3 and 4, we have the great example of the acknowledgement of sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. As we confess our sins, remember the example of godly men like David and Daniel. Think back again to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Daniel's noble character is seen in how he identified himself with his people in their sins, even though Daniel had been faithful to God throughout his life. Think back to chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel was a faithful man. And for these types of reasons, the Bible tells us that Daniel was greatly beloved by God. Jump forward here in chapter 9 to verse 23. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision. chapter 10 and verse 11. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Also, chapter 10 and verse 19. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. May the example of Daniel's life and Daniel's faith inspire us in our own walk. With God, because we have certainly been blessed, like Daniel, to be greatly beloved. I want to close with 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Are we trusting in the love and mercy of God for the forgiveness of sins, and not our own righteousness? If the Lord wills, we'll continue next week, picking up with verse 20 here in Daniel chapter 9. I hope you'll join me. Again, I greatly appreciate your presence today. You have encouraged me, and I hope you found this time beneficial. This program will be replayed tonight at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. And so, remember to tune in through the day for all of the programming here on the Gospel Radio Network. And especially be sure to join Mornings for the Master tomorrow with Brother Chip Horton at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. He'll do a great job as always. And I'd also love you to join me at 11 a.m. tomorrow for studies in the Gospels. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you next time. So long, and I hope you have a great day.